I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. It seems the word of the day is taxes, and that's what we're going to focus on for a bit right now, specifically the corporate tax rate cut for American companies in the bill passed yesterday by Congress, and how we compare to other countries' corporate taxes. The World's Jason Margolis is our resident economics expert and joins me now in the studio. So, Jason, the U.S. corporate tax rate is being cut from 35 to 21%. Where did we stand compared with the rest of the world, and where are we now?
So we were extremely high. We were on an outlier. And now we're somewhere in the middle. We're competitive with other European countries.
And there's also a one-time tax repatriation holiday for corporate profits overseas. Tell us what that is.
American companies that have stored their profits overseas can bring it back now and are taxed one time at 8% or 15.5%, depending on the type of income it is.
Right. So the big promise overall is that lower taxes for corporations will mean more money is going to stay in the U.S., creating jobs and raising wages. Is that going to work?
So let's go back to that one-time repatriation. So they tried that under President George W. Bush in 2004. There was a tax holiday for corporations. They brought back the money. And what did they do with all that money?
Yeah, what did they do with
they
all that money?
They gave it to the shareholders in terms of dividends. In fact, the companies that brought in a lot of money laid off workers. So the promise that wages are going to go up and we're going to hire new workers, what is more likely to happen if you look at what has happened, the shareholders are going to make money and the CEOs are going to make more money as well. Now, it is going to be a much more competitive environment for American companies.
So even with the corporate tax cut, do incentives still remain for corporations to shift their businesses overseas?
Absolutely. So I'm looking at a chart right now of the tax rates across the world. Our rate is still going to be higher than Ireland, for example. So why not move your business to Ireland? And the answer to that is think of it as a state. So Wyoming has zero corporate income tax. So why doesn't a Massachusetts company relocate to Wyoming? Well, there's lots of factors. There's quality of life. There's transportation. There's energy costs. Taxes are but one part of it.
You're saying companies would be more comfortable in Dublin as opposed to Cheyenne?
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. And is there anything to suggest in the new GOP tax bill that foreign companies might actually come here?
Absolutely. The United States has become a much more attractive place to do business pretty much overnight, and no one's discounting that. Yeah, we could see more foreign companies setting up shop, but we'll see.
So taxes are part of a much bigger conversation about how to stimulate the economy and bring back jobs to the U.S. You were just in Arizona reporting on trade, right?
Yeah, I was. So that's the other part of President Trump's strategy to bring back jobs to the U.S. He got elected in no small part because of his disdain for trade deals. He often called NAFTA the worst trade deal ever, and he vowed to rip up the 23-year-old agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Now, negotiators from those three countries have been working for months to hammer out a new deal. And as they work, President Trump continually threatens to just walk away from the table and rip up the agreement. And that has many, many business interests in Arizona pretty concerned.
Okay, let's hear your story. And let me add that it's part of our 50 States project, where we're visiting communities around the country to explore the impacts of globalization. All right, we're off to Tucson, Arizona.
Arizona needs Mexico. Unlike the United States as a whole, Arizona actually has a trade surplus with its southern neighbor. At Cade Industries factory in Tucson, welders build massive tanks and steel silos used by mining and oil and gas companies. Setting up shop here, just 70 miles from the border, it wasn't by chance.
Mexico is naturally a resource-rich country, and we support a lot of mining companies, and so by being in Arizona, we have a close proximity to those customers.
Rob Ossenmacher is president of Cade. He says since NAFTA came into effect 23 years ago, business has boomed.
I can tell you that it's going to be a little off the cuff, but I believe in the early 90s, we were around 6 to 8 million in revenue. And so now we're more closer to 60 million.
Now, Ossenmacher can't attribute that tenfold increase directly to NAFTA. But he can say this about his Mexican customers this year.
I can say that since there's been an uncertainty in NAFTA, our business, mainly this year in 2017, has decreased.
Less revenue means fewer jobs. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that 236,000 Arizona jobs would be at risk if the U.S. withdraws from NAFTA. This situation has Arizona's political leaders from both parties quite concerned. Greg Stanton is the Democratic mayor of Phoenix, the nation's fifth largest city. He helped open two trade offices in Mexico recently. He says Arizona's image took a hit after the state passed its controversial law SB 1070 7 years ago. That required police officers to demand proof of legal status from people they stopped, who they suspected of being unauthorized. Stanton says they'd been repairing fractured relations with their southern neighbor. Then President Trump burst onto the scene.
For us, it's like, here we go again. You know, we had worked so hard to overcome past political mistakes made here in Arizona, to overcome that, to build a stronger economic relationship with Mexico. And now, not at a local level, not at a state level, but at a federal level, we're facing immense threats to this improved relationship. Make no mistake, these are high-wage jobs that are associated with trade with Mexico. And if NAFTA were blown up in the way that the president has threatened to do so, that would really, really hurt us here locally.
Stanton says President Trump is clinging to an old economic model.
Things are made in one country and then are shipped across the border and sold in another country. The truth is that for so many of the either electronics or automotive parts or aviation parts, those products cross the border multiple times before they are finished. That's the modern international economy.
Case in point, a new California-based car company, Lucid Motors, which is building electric luxury vehicles to compete with Tesla, recently decided to build a factory just south of Phoenix.
The cars that would be developed would cross that border like 8 or 9 times before they are completed. Those are great jobs here in Arizona. And if without a effective NAFTA, that goes away.
But would it? I spoke with the chief technology officer for Lucid Motors, who said they're closely monitoring the situation. But he said there would have to be very severe changes for Lucid to rethink its entire business model in Arizona. In other words, it depends on what trade negotiators come up with, or what a world without NAFTA would mean for a border state. Still big unknowns.
We've never backed out of a trade agreement in this country before, so we would be in uncharted territory.
Eric Lee directs the North American Research Partnership out of Phoenix. He says if NAFTA is canceled, expect years of litigation. Tariffs could rise and trusted trade programs could be hampered. Now, all of this isn't to say that reopening NAFTA was a foolish move. Lee and most everyone agree that the 23-year-old trade deal could benefit from some updating, especially workers. Don Schumann is with the Teamsters Local 104 in Phoenix. We spoke at the Union Hall. She sits under a photo of the Teamsters' general president, James Hoffa, taken about 25 years ago.
That rally was in Southern California to bring out and expose NAFTA for what it really does, that it kills jobs in America, and it takes away good blue-collar jobs in America and sends them to other countries.
She says NAFTA is hollowing out the middle class in America and adding to income inequality. And now, traditionally Democratic union leaders are supporting the Republican president's push to renegotiate the treaty.
Maybe some of it works, but a lot of it doesn't. And it's time that we bring jobs back to America. And it's time that we provide for our own middle class.
That's very much what President Trump has said, and that's what he got elected on. So was he popular among the Teamsters or no?
I think that when it came to trade and when it came to NAFTA, I do believe that President Trump has the right intention. That's all I want to say about him.
It's a complicated trade deal, a complicated renegotiation, and a complicated man at the center of it all. Add it all up, for a border state that relies heavily on trade with Mexico, anxiety is high. For The World, Jason Margolis, Phoenix.